It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah. Yeah. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Force. Today, we're going to have an interesting topic. So, from basically the end of last regular season, the Skyforce have lost access to several players, key players, to be specific. Malik Williams got poached right before the playoffs. So we're including him in this. And then Jamal Kane obviously is no longer with the Heat, as well as Cole Swider. And then Orlando Robinson, even though he was on a standard contract, if you've paid attention to anything we've said all year, he's been like Wilt Chamberlain in the G League, and he's been playing with them a lot. So they don't have access with him anymore. So we're going to be talking about what they can do to like replace that production, or what needs to happen, maybe even the style of play or anything like that. Obviously, we don't know exactly who's going to be on the team just yet. It's still early for the G League. There is a lot of roster turnover, so it might not be very specific players. It just might be like general ideas and maybe move focus away from or focus towards. So Matt, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear this topic? Like, what is that first thing that you're like, this is what needs to happen?
Well, someone, I mean, as of right now, we know they retracted Alondis's qualifying offer. Again, I think I've said it on here before. My assumption with that is he's not going to be on the roster next year. That could change within the next several weeks. But as of right now, just my assumption is that he won't be on the roster. And so I want to also include him in that mix as well. And when I immediately think about what he provided last year, and specifically Cole Swider, it's the shot creation, it's the three-point volume. Like, that's something that they need to replace. Because I was looking at it before we hopped on, just those two guys in the regular season and showcase alone, they accounted for nearly 25% of their total points and over 30% of their threes. And then, like, that's a lot for just two guys, right? And so, like, we'll know more once December arrives, like, you know, what the Heat rotation looks like, who's injured. But, like, I don't know if fans want to hear this, but, like, I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Pelé Larsen gets considerable run with the Skyforce next year. Obviously, you're going to have Josh Christopher on that two-way now, and I'm guessing he's probably going to start the season in the G League. Again, it's easy to make that assumption, you know, several months out, but that's just my prediction. And like, those are two guys specifically who can help replicate that 3-point volume, because even last year in the regular season, the Skyforce in the regular season, they were around like middle of the pack in 3-pointers attempt per 100 possessions, while being the 10th most efficient 3-point shooting team. It's easier, I think, to sustain a good offense in the G League without having that 3-point volume, just because I think team defense and individual defense, as you and I have talked about before, it's just not as good. But it's still hard to maintain that level of production. Like, if you're going to be a top 10 offense, or I guess, I know they were a little bit disappointing in the showcase, but like a top 10 offense, you're going to need to have that kind of 3-point volume and that 3-point efficiency. And those are two guys specifically who ate up a lot of that. So that's just the first thing that comes to mind when I think about what they lost last year versus what they're heading into this year. Could a guy like Isaiah Stevens help? Absolutely. Could Zion Pullen potentially help there? Sure. I'm not going to anticipate, but sure. So there's guys like Caleb Daniels, who you and I have talked about ad nauseum on here. Like, there's guys who can help supplement that production, but it's just going to be guys who are going to have to play above their head a little bit, or going to have to develop that part of their game consistently for them to kind of sustain that, depending on what the final Skyforce roster looks like once November, December arrives.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind too, is that specifically three-point shooting for me, because I know Cole Swider is a big topic for the two-way and Heat people. We've talked about him a lot. We've talked about how certain Heat fans hate him because he doesn't quite play at that level when he goes up to the Heat, and it's hard to see his value sometimes. But he is a shooter, and he's just getting thrown into the Heat. At the Skyforce, he was the best shooter in the G League, had the best shooting season in Skyforce history, and that's including Duncan Robinson. Like, he's an elite shooter, and some of his flaws aren't as big of a deal in the G League because a lot of the players have flaws. So you're missing out on Cole Swider there. You're missing out on that three-point shooting. Like you said, they're about 10th in efficiency, but middle of the pack in three-point shots, which honestly kind of sounds like the Heat whenever they were having good three-point shooting seasons. They were shooting really good, but not often. I wonder what that would look like if you just took Cole Swider away. I haven't looked at the numbers or anything, but like, they relied heavily on him in tough shots too. And then other guys would play off that, getting open looks. But like, as far as making the really tough ones, especially towards the end of the year, it was Cole Swider and it was Alondis Williams creating those, and Josh Christopher some games as well, but he was playing a little bit of a different role there. So they immediately need three-point shooting. Even though you can get around it a little bit better, you still need really reliable three-point shooting. And that, the main guy is gone. First person that comes to my mind that might be able to fill that role, maybe not at that level, and you might be on the team, and I suspect he probably will be Bryson Warren. I mean, I think his shooting stroke's really smooth. You can see it in a couple games last year. When he was on, he was hitting really well. I think he'll just continue to improve as he's still really young. So I'm interested to see if he can kind of help that role. That's the first guy that, quote-unquote, might be on the roster. And like we said, we're still early. So this could completely change. There's still a lot of time left here. But then to your point, Alondis Williams, there's a good chance he's not going to be there. They need that guy to be able to break people down one-on-one, get to the rack. You have Josh Christopher to do that. He's on a two-way. How much is he going to be with the Skyforce, though? Probably a decent amount. Isaiah Stevens is probably going to be with the Skyforce a decent amount through the year. But the third two-way, I don't think is going to be with the Skyforce that much. And he's going to bring into my next point of they need like a big man. They need stuff down low. And so Kashad would have done that. But I just really don't think he's going to be with the Skyforce much at all. I think he's pretty much just going to be with the Heat as much as he can. As soon as he's able to sign a prorated standard, he's going to do that. And he's not going to be with the Skyforce ever again. So that brings me to, you mentioned Larson, the second pick. This is my hot take that's going to make Heat Nation really mad at me. Ware. I think Ware is going to play with the Skyforce at least early in the season. If you looked, I think it was Ira who said, like, the Heat were always trying to catch up from their slow start last year and could never do it. So he really expects the Heat to try to start out strong, and specifically like Kevin Love playing and Ware might not play that much. Get him some reps in the Skyforce. He would be a perfect Malik Williams replacement. Not saying he's the same exact player. He definitely has more potential, but he would be really good for the G League. He could then also develop his shot there, and that's what a lot of fans in the Heat should be intrigued about having a true big guy and, you know, size that can shoot, but he needs to work on it a little bit. Decision-making, when to shoot. Don't take the step backs with two people right on you that he did one time in the summer league. Like, get all of that out in your system. So then whenever it is time, like, you've developed a little bit, and the Heat want to see you in game, potentially with Bam or backing up Bam, however that looks, you're ready and you're not just cold on the bench. And yet practices will be great for him, but we've seen it with Jovic. Last year, he went down to the Skyforce, came back, and he was really good because he got those reps. So I think this would be a perfect spot for him, and his defense would be incredible for the Skyforce. So that was like the Malik Williams. How do we fill that hole? Rebounding, size, some shooting touch. I think Ware has a perfect opportunity to do that.
That's interesting. I think for a player like him, the most and this is how it is for all players who are a little bit raw. The most crucial part to their development is like live reps. And I do think you make a good point in the sense that, again, we'll know more once December, that time arrives. But I know Heat fans throughout the offseason have kind of pondered why they re-signed Thomas Bryant. And like the more each day goes by, the more I think they re-sign Thomas Bryant because he's going to get some run early in the season. Not to say his leash is going to be incredibly long, because I don't think it is. And I feel like we may see a similar front court rotation to what we saw last year with the Heat, which means that depending on what happens in the preseason and in training camp, Ware's going to have to work his way into the fold. And I think we will see a situation to some extent like what we saw with Orlando last year. Like Orlando was on a standard contract, but he was still getting some run in the summer league. I think we could see that with Ware. I'm not as sure as maybe you are on it, but I think there is a world where that does happen. And so that is interesting. And it's not just like, I think Warren Washington, who we saw briefly in summer league with the Heat. Well, I'm a Warren guy. I liked what I saw from him in his abbreviated stint. I think he probably will stick in the system. At least, again, that's what I'm guessing. I don't think he's officially been announced on an Exhibit 10 yet, but like, I think he'll stick with the organization. And if he does, he's another guy that I could just see being a Warren or being a Orlando replacement. It's not even just Orlando. Like, three of your most prolific rebounders are now gone with Orlando, Malik, and Jamal Cain. Like, those were your three best rebounders last year, or three best volume rebounders. And so you're going to need to find a way to replace all those guys. And so that just means better collective rebounding effort, because the Skyforce were, what, a top five rebounding team last year, or at least in the top 10. And so, like, you're going to need to find a way to replace that production, not just from one guy, but from a collective standpoint. And I think a guy like Ware, a guy like Warren Washington, I'm not even sure if Neil Sacco is going to be there, but maybe that he could be one. If Isaiah Moore is still there, he could absolutely be one. Like, you're going to have to find a way to replace it, not just from one guy, but from multiple guys. But I do think that's something that you need to replace, because, again, this team just got plucked last year, just from all areas. And so it's going to take more than just one guy to replace what the Skyforce lost last year. And hopefully they get plucked again, because we want to see these guys get opportunities. But hopefully it's not as big of a detriment from a team perspective next year.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor and the 5 Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com /5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Jamal Cain again, because how do we replace what Jamal Cain did?
It's Keyshawn, but he's not going to be playing there.
Yeah, that's like the guy that's like, that's actually better than Jamal Cain. No disrespect to Jamal Cain, but like he does everything but better. But who's going to do that? Like looking at the team last year and who might be there, Manny Camper. I love Manny. Love him to death. Don't know if he's going to be on the team. But then also, he is not quite that level as Jamal Cain. But he does some of those dirty work thing. That's how you would fill the dirty work that Jamal Cain did. And I talked about it several times in some of our live streams and in some articles and everything. Jamal Cain did not impress me in how he got his numbers and everything. Really good G League player, can help you win in the G League. But in how he got it, it was a lot of like hustle plays and doing the dirty work, which is great. Me, as much as anyone, I love those type of players. Y'all have heard me talk about Manny Camper, who I just mentioned. I absolutely love him for those exact reasons. But like projecting someone to be an NBA player, that's not the most ideal situation if that's solely how you're making your impact, if that makes any sense. So like Manny Camper can do that as a little bit, but it might have to change like a little bit of a team identity if they don't have Keyshawn. It might have to be more group rebounding. You have guys in the guard position that are not afraid to rebound. And it might have to be, instead of playing a little bit fast, you know, because the Skyforce last year would play really fast. Maybe don't do that. Maybe don't gamble for as many steals so then your guys can be there to rebound. And we talked about it on here. Cole Swider for the Skyforce rebounded really well. No one believes us, but it really did happen. And so you're losing that as well. You're losing a lot of guys that rebounded. That might be shooting's number one for me. Number two might be rebounding. You're losing some defense, but as we talked about, unfortunately, defense is not as big of a deal in the G League. Individual defense, you can make up for it in other ways. And I think with the Skyforce and the players that they should have, as well as their coaching staff, and I know the head coach is changing a lot, changing there, but I think that identity is kind of be the same. I think they're going to find a way to at least be good enough on the defensive end to where their offense should make up for it. So you have rebounding and shooting. And it's just, there's not too many answers on the team now. So they're doing local player tryouts, which I never expect much from those, to be honest with you. But you never know. You never know. It happens. They have the draft, so they might be able to get someone. And then they can just, you know, there's so many people that you can just sign and find a way to get, maybe even make trades. So there's still plenty of time. And I know we've already said that numerous times. You just really want to reiterate, plenty of time for a lot of these things. But how do
sorry to interrupt, but here are their leaders last year in rebounding percentage. I just want to read these names off to you. Malik Williams, Orlando Robinson, Brandon McCoy, Isaiah Moore, Jamal Cain, Justin Champagne, Cole Swider, Manny Camper, RJ Hampton, and Teo Maledon. Caleb Daniels is right behind them. So is Jamari Bouye, Josh Christopher, Alondis Williams, Owen McCoy. Like, most of these names aren't going to be on the roster next year.
No, who are those first six again?
Malik, Orlando, McCoy, who, again, maybe I'm
probably not.
Maybe I have no idea. Isaiah Moore, that's still a question mark whether he's going to be on there. Jamal Cain, Justin Champagne, Cole Swider, Manny Camper.
So Manny and Isaiah Moore. I don't think Brandon McCoy, maybe. But even then, he didn't play a ton. So maybe he gets more minutes. But like those two, if they are back, we have like two of the top 10. Like it felt like.
Yeah, like.
It's a problem.
And then the other guy, again, RJ, Teo, Peter Yock, Caleb Daniels, Jamar. But like, again, most of these guys aren't going to be there.
Yeah, they got to find a way.
So that's it's a problem, or it's not. It's not. It's. I guess you can frame it as a problem. I'm not going to say it's a problem, but it's. I'm curious to see how they supplement that.
It is definitely a off-season problem to where, like, hey, we have to address this to be able to rebound.
Yeah.
Now, the games could start, and it's not a problem. But, like, when you're projecting for the next season, losing all of your rebounders is a little problem.
I think Caleb's going to shoot up that leaderboard, if I'm being honest.
Oh, for sure. He's going to get more run.
Like, he's a legit rebounder for his size.
Yeah. People were surprised when he's like 6'4". A lot of people thought he was taller.
You could see, in the summer league he was active on the glass, or at least like he showed activity there.
And that's what I mean by like group rebounding. Like,
yeah,
Malik felt like he got 20 rebounds a game for a good stretch there. You didn't have to have like everyone there. Now you don't have that guy. Ware could potentially be that guy, but he's also not like known as this dominant rebounder. He can certainly do it, but I don't like, you got to find a way to replace that.
I mean, Ware was a guy who had motor concerns in college and still nearly averaged a double double, so he can rebound.
Yeah, but like,
it's just a matter of him. It's just a matter of his motor on the glass, which in this organization, I'm not super worried about. And his positioning and stuff. And like, he can, yeah. he I think Adele's brought this up. Shout out Digital Adele, who does work with us over on Watch Playback, which you should also check out. One of his things that he liked a lot about Ware was just his out of area rebounding. Like, when it's, the ball's not in your area, considering how long he is. And he's got good hands. And so, like, that's something that he could also provide. He's not a surefire lock to play with the Sky Force, but.
Yeah, for sure. And let me clarify for all the Ware fans that are going to be mad here. It is more so I say he's not a dominant rebounder, because when I think of those, they get everyone. Like, yeah. Andre Drummond, there's not a rebound that guy isn't fighting his life for. To me, you can't be a dominant rebounder if there are potential motor concerns. It's like when you throw a dominant rebounder out there, you have to know he's going to get every rebound, or at least make it difficult for the other team to get every rebound. We've seen even in the summer league where at first stretches would take some breaks and even somehow not get rebounds that he should have. So like, he rebounded really well, but it should have been higher in my opinion.
Gets boxed out by dudes who are 6'3".
Yeah.
That happened a lot in college, and that was a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. That like shouldn't happen. Right. Like he like relied on his size. Like that never happened with Malik, right? Malik, he's there. He's fighting for every single thing. But it's just going to be difficult. And this is the fun part about the G League too. There's so much roster turnover that it's like, how are you going to predict in any of these things? But you still have to talk about them. You still have to find out how to replace them. For all you fantasy players out there, or trade machine merchants, the G League is for y'all. Like, this is all we do. Replace players, figure out how to make the team better in the off season. And it's just the Wild West, because we know absolutely nothing. So you don't know who's going to be even available in the G League. You don't know if draft picks are going to come down. So this is just shameless plug. Y'all should be paying more attention to the G League and what me and Matt do, because y'all would love the transaction talk. Matt, what do you think? You mentioned earlier Larson. How do you think he helps fit all these problems? I think there's a good chance any second round pick, maybe outside of Bronny James, but I still think Bronny will be in the G League. Do you think any second round pick is going to play in the G League? Like, that's just going to happen. Do you think Larson's going to fix some of these problems or help?
Yes, because I think he's not like Cole Swire. He's not Alondis Williams. He's Paley Larson. Like, he's his own player. But I think what he does, he's the ultimate glue guy. Like, he can do a little bit of everything for you while being a near 40% 3-point shooter from deep. At least that's what he was at the college level. I know he struggled a little bit with the shooting touch at the start of summer league, but he found it toward the end. he's a guy who can just do a little bit of everything. Like, he can create for you. He's a very good, you know, second side, secondary playmaker, good connector. Like, he's a guy who, especially in the summer league, he showed a lot of like being able to take dudes off the bounce. He's a very physical player. Like, he was a guy who was like deceptively athletic when he was at Arizona. Because you're not expecting a guy with, I think he had like a, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I want to say it was like a 38 inch vert or something like that. Like, guy who with like a near 40% or four, not 40%, 40 inch vert, just being able to, and he did it so effortlessly too at times. Like, he's not going to be the fastest guy on the court, but he's very methodical with his movements. Again, he's a good 3-point shooter. He's a guy though who I think in the G League, they're going to be asked. They're going to ask him to create like a decent amount, I would say. And he can just help with a little bit of everything in that area. Like, he's going to grab, you know, a few rebounds a game. He's going to initiate offense for you. He's going to be the primary initiator probably at some points. He's going to be that 3-point shooter, whether it's off the bounce or spotting up from deep. He's going to attempt a few of those a game. Like, he's just going to do a little bit of everything. And I think for him, again, it's one of those things where we will see what the rotation looks like. He may be a guy who, yeah, you want to see play at the NBA level. He may not play right away, and he's going to want to get game reps, or they're going to want to get him game reps and developmental reps with the G League. And so that's where I kind of see him fitting in. Potentially, I want him to play. I think he could absolutely be a guy that they can put in the rotation, whether it's 9, 10, or even 11 guys. But it's not something that, like, I'm anticipating, or that's not something that I'm banking on, as well as Christopher, as well as some of these other guys that we've talked about. And so that's where I kind of see him fitting into the mold with the Skyforce, at least at the start of the season, if he's there.
Yeah, I think while you were talking, it just popped up. He could be the Jamal Cain type guy with higher offensive ceiling, for sure. Because he's a solid defender. He rebounds. He'll do a little bit of everything, like you were saying. But he does have a little higher ceiling, so that might be good for the Skyforce. He struggled with his shot at the Summer League, but like you said, he started to find it. And if you look back at his college career and who he's supposed to be, he should be a solid shooter. Definitely enough to make the open ones there. So that might be a good replacement there. But I think we will see a different play style from the Skyforce. You're going to have a different coach in there. Same org and everything like that, but coaches obviously change a bunch. And even though it is the G League, and I know that, like I've said before, the Heat kind of work closely with the G League, saying they want to see certain things at times. I think you will see a little bit different of a play style, and they can maybe play to their strengths of their roster with it looking a little bit different. So I'm excited to see how that works out. But we're running out of time today. We could talk all day about the G League and the Skyforce, but we just want to thank y'all once again for listening. Let's go Heat. Let's go Skyforce.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big.